That was it. I crossed my mind because Tom mentioned it on his News Nuggets and Insights this week. All right. We come from many different backgrounds, many thoughts, many places that we're at in our mind and with what COVID going on. Many of us are very comfortable still coming up and giving each other hugs, handshakes, whatever the case may be. I am asking, out of respect, that if you know somebody wants a hug, give them a hug, but if they tell you no thank you, respect that, please. I do know there are some people that are coming from Kalamazoo that want to wear their face mask and want to be socially distanced. Well, respect that. That's what we do. We're God's people. We love each other. We take care of each other. So please, be if you're coming to the feast, be respectful of that. Also, on the other end of that, if you are hearing my voice and you are one that needs social distancing, just let us know calmly. Say, you know what? I appreciate your love and appreciate you. I know you want to hug me, but I want to practice social distancing, and it would be great. So just the respect all around between God's people, that's all I'm asking for. We will have plenty of masks here. We will have plenty of hand sanitizer. We have gloves, plastic gloves for food. We'll have all of that for those who wish to participate with those things. So just let everybody know that. So I know Tom also talked about that on News Nuggets and Insights. We're doing, and that's also for all the feast sites, of the COGMI feast sites. Just let's be respectful of everybody. And in regards to that, anything else? I think I covered it now. I didn't want to forget that too. So with that, put that in there. All right, we'll get started. Anything I missed, Steve? Anything? Okay, I just want to make sure. Any other questions I can answer after services about the feast? But we've been working behind the scenes, and so, all right. Well, again, good afternoon and happy Sabbath, everyone. I won't make you say it again. Oh, wait a minute! Before I start, I have a joke I gotta say. My youngest daughter, so will you please tell this joke? All right, I will. I actually got two jokes then, because I got another one I want to say. So, why did the Swiss cheese go to church? Because it's holy. All right. And one more. It doesn't have anything to do with church. I just thought it was a funny joke I heard yesterday. Why is Cinderella not a good baseball player? Why is she not a good baseball player or softball player or whatever? She ran away from the ball. Or her coach was a pumpkin. Either way. All right. Some humor for you as we start today. Well, here we are. Steve's mentioned it. Two weeks away from trumpets. My goodness. Fall holy days are upon us. And then atonement on the 28th. 4 weeks from today. Well, 4 weeks from last night at sunset. The Feast of Tabernacles. I hope it's cloudless. I hope we can see that big bright moon that evening, that full moon, Feast of Tabernacles. Trumpets is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, it's trumpets. I want to start in Proverbs 6. Let's turn to Proverbs 6. That'll be our jumping off scripture for today. It's hard not to be excited for this time of year. Of course, it's the Sabbath too, so we should be excited about that. And the times that we live in can be scary. Emotions ride high. But Christ told us to watch. Our Savior told us to watch and pray. And as we see, as He told us, as the fig tree, look at the fig tree, we know what season we're in. I think we have a pretty good idea what season we're in. Of the hatred, of the lawlessness, of the things around us We see on the news people killing each other just because if you have a different belief than they do. Last week I had the privilege of talking about trusting God. Where is our trust? Well, we see in Proverbs 6, verse 16, six things, and yes, seven things that the Lord God hates. So Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. These things the Lord God hates. Put on the news, you see these things running rampant in our nation, in our world. We see proud looks all over the place. See what we're doing? See how we're handling this? Oh, look at me. We have it right over here. No, we have it right over here. Don't trust them. Then the lying starts. Hands that shed innocent blood. As I made mention on the news, just because you believe in a different thing than somebody else, they think they have the right to kill you in the street, to beat you in a bloody pulp. Of course, abortion. Kill the innocent. It's okay. A heart that devises wicked plans. We can see that in our nation. Wicked plans. They think, you know, as Isaiah says, they'll call evil good and good evil. Feet that are swift in running to evil. No thought, lawlessness. We read in Scripture, 1 John, sin is breaking of God's law. It's lawlessness. And we see that rampant. It's evil. No regard for God's commandments. No regard for the laws of the land. And again, he speaks of lies. A false witness who speaks lies. You don't know who to believe when we watch the news. I mean, you can take it in. We can sort it out. We pray to God to give us a discerning mind. But there's lies all over the place. And it matters what channel you click on. Or in life, nobody wants to get caught. Nobody wants to get caught with a hand in the cookie jar. Those kind of lies. A false witness. A false witness is somebody that lies against somebody else to get them in trouble. And one who sows discord among brethren. We have to be careful not to sow discord. We have to be careful to be respectful. See, these things we have to watch for in ourselves and work on not having in us. Because we can get worked up. We can get worked up. Some more than others. These things are of our enemy. Our enemy who wants to take us out. Our enemy would love to see us fail. Our enemy who comes in and tempts us to turn our back on God. Our enemy would love to see us stumble and fall. To turn our back, go back into the world. See that lesson of Israel coming out of Egypt. They kept testing God. They kept testing God. They kept tempting God. They didn't trust Him. Oh, you brought us out here to die. We want to go back to Egypt. Oh, you brought us out here. We're thirsty. Where's the water? We want to go back to Egypt. Oh, where's the food at? You said this. You take care of us. Aaron, build that calf. Build that golden calf. There's our God, O Israel. Let's go back to Egypt. Those lessons are there for us. So we are careful. We're in that wilderness. We're journeying, pulled out of sin. Made the choice to be on this journey. And God has made some wonderful promises for us, to us. I don't want to repeat last week's sermon, but Joshua chapter 1. If you listen to me and you obey me, I will be with you wherever you go. I will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1, 9 through 10. So we have to be careful and not get involved with the world. We can see the world, we learn, we grow inside the world, but not from the world. We grow from God. Proverbs 1. Let's go back. Let's back up to Proverbs 1. Verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Fools hate knowledge. We've been given a great knowledge. Great knowledge. Wonderful knowledge. Not of men, not of this world, but from God, our Father in heaven, and from His Son and our Savior. We've been given a great gift. The knowledge of them. Their truth, their wisdom. We've been taught what the commandments mean. We've been taught the holy days. We've been taught the seventh day Sabbath. And what each one means. What each one means. First John, as I made mention, 1 John 3. John 3, 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And this is the New King James Version. In the King James Version, it says, "Sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him." We strive not to sin. We are human. We make mistakes. But Christ did show us as human through prayer, meditation. The closer you get to God, sin has no room. The enemy can't get through. But in our human failings, sometimes we lose focus. And we sin. We just got to be honest about that. So we strive to abide in our Savior. We strive to do what He taught us to do. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What a great promise that we have when we are born of God. We've been found worthy to be of that first resurrection and changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. No more sin. But Christ was sacrificed for us to cover our sins when we go back. Yes, we sin. And in that moment when we sin, we have separated ourselves from the Father. In that moment, we need to pray and ask. And just like He showed us, repent and ask for forgiveness through our Savior, Jesus Christ. So these things today that we're talking about, we got to look at ourselves and keep going. What is it that we can improve on? We need to be focused on the things of God. See, in Mark 7, verse 1. See, here come the Pharisees. Here come the Pharisees towards Jesus Christ. Mark 7, verse 1 says, "And the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of His disciples eat bread and defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they washed their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?' He answered and said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing the pitchers, the cups, and many other such things you do." See, Christ wasn't talking about being healthy. There's nothing wrong with washing hands. He was telling you're hypocrites because you're so wrapped up in the traditions of men that you overlook your job. You overlook what you're supposed to be doing, following God and the commandments of God. Verse 9, He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." He was calling them out. And there's other scriptures that back that out through the Gospels, that the Pharisees were so wrapped up in themselves. That they followed the traditions of men and lost sight of what they were supposed to be doing for God. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. The word from the Lord God, it deals with the Sabbath. It deals with the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He says, follow me. Listen to me. When we come on the Sabbath day, we are to take in what He has for us to learn and to grow, to be better. Not to get, you know, wrapped up in the world. Again, we have to watch. Our Savior said, watch, pray, know what season it is. But not to get wrapped up. The Pharisees of Christ, they were getting wrapped up in the world around them. Traditions of men. What made them look good? They're thinking, what can make us look good and more powerful? Oh, common theme in human history. To stay in power. But we're not called to do that. We're called to be humble. When we first started off this message, Proverbs, we talked about haughty look. Haughty's proud. Proud look. No, we're supposed to be humble. And understand where our life, you know, our breath comes from. It comes from God Almighty. The Creator of all things, the Father of all things. Deuteronomy 10. See, God is asking us to do each and every day something important to Him. And that is to follow Him, to love Him, to trust Him. Not to say, oh, well, I got this far, what are you going to do for me now, God? This part of my life is hard. Have you given up on me? Just like we're going to read here a little bit. Those Israelites, that's the lesson that we should take in. God loved them. God heard their cry out of Egypt. And He sent Moses to bring them out. Moses and Aaron. They saw the miracles. They saw the plagues. They saw the mighty Egyptian empire brought to its knees. They saw the miracle at the Red Sea. God told them at the Red Sea, believe me, trust me. Moses, go raise that rod and go through that Red Sea and you will see these Egyptians no more. So then they got in the wilderness. They complained and they moaned and they groaned. Our lives are hard. Our lives are hard. Whatever they may be. We each live our own life. We've been given a special journey. We can listen to each other. We can understand and hear what we're going through. And we can try to understand what we're each going through. But we each have our ups and our downs. We each have our hills and our valleys. But what's the constant? God. If we trust Him, we give it over to Him. He's our constant. And our Savior is our constant. And that's what He says in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? What does He ask of us? But you, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today, for your good. That's what we hold on to as a people of God. As the called out ones of the world, that is what we need to hang on to. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful saying. All that I require of you, He says, is to listen to me and trust me. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and He chose their descendants and them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him, and to Him you shall hold fast and take oaths in His name. He is your praise, and He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. What great and awesome things has He done in our lives? What great and awesome things has He done in your life, in my life? However old we are, whether you're sitting in this room or you're sitting in front of a computer or a tablet on the internet, what great and wonderful things has He done? Maybe at the time we didn't think they were great or wonderful, but He's building our character. He's guiding us, testing us. I read last week, that's why He brought the people through the wilderness to test them. Our wilderness, our journey, He's testing us to see if we will hold fast. Hold on to Him. What is it that He requires? What is it that He asks? To walk in the ways He commands us to do. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, continuing on, the next chapter. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. Walk, be with. Verse 13 of the same chapter, chapter 11, verse 13, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and He shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. So He's telling that to Israel as they're heading towards the promised land. Physical blessings. We have spiritual blessings. But we also have physical blessings. Think of all the blessings in your lives because we have chosen to follow the Lord. Think. Whatever it is, think. I think of our garden this year. Karen does a wonderful job with the garden. Every year. We've been doing it for about 5 years. You've been doing it. I shouldn't say we. I water it. That's all I do. I mean, she says that's a big help, and I'm glad she says that, but all I do is turn the faucet on and let the sprinkler go. That's my job. I see the garden this year has been the biggest it's ever been. We've got tomatoes falling. I mean, we've grown stuff before, cucumbers and things. But this year, I have never seen as many cucumbers and squash and tomatoes. It's amazing. Is that because we follow His commandments? I would like to think so. And that's not being prideful. It's just, that's a blessing. We haven't seen that garden do that well in the years that we've done it. Last year's actually... I look up there to get the confirmation. Last year's garden's like pitiful compared to years before. It always seems, when we need it, the money shows up to pay to pay what we need to pay for. Where I work, I'm a teacher. You know that. I work at a public school, but it's a charter school. It's a little bit different, a little bit different dynamic. While the other public schools are cutting budget, I prayed, hey, as long as I get to keep my job, and I get to save pay. That's great. Principal comes and says, sorry guys, we can only give you a 1% raise. I'm thinking, I'm getting a raise. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, in the midst of all this stuff. You know, the song says, count your many blessings, big or small. God blesses us in different ways, whether it's health or money or finances, if we trust Him to get Him where we need to be, where He wants us to be, and where He's promised us to be. Deuteronomy, saying in 11, verse 18, oh yeah, 11, verse 18. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We are to teach the ways to the next generation. God's ways. And they are to be in our heart, in our minds, to be in our very soul, His ways. Those He has called. We are not to turn back. We are not to get so entrapped with what's going on in the world. And again, we need to watch. I'm not saying don't watch. Don't go through the world blindly. We have to watch, but not get caught up in it. Whatever God decides, whatever His will is, His will be done in life. Whether it's the COVID-19, whether it's the upcoming election, whatever it is, it's God's will. We know it. We are on His timetable. And He is sending His Son. He is sending His Son. He made a promise in Matthew 24 that no flesh would be alive unless time was cut short. And for the elect's sake, time will be cut short. So in His timetable, He knows when that is. We got to keep going, holding fast to Him. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. This is a warning to Israel again. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations... how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. No, there's no other truth. There's no other truth. There's the truth of God, which we've been called to. We've been blessed Think of that miracle. And I say this many times. We cannot forget that miracle where He reached down and touched each one of our minds to remove the cloud, to remove the coverings off of our eyes, the scales off our eyes, to get the truth, to start understanding the truth. There's something different. Wait a minute. I'm not supposed to keep Christmas? Wait a minute. What's the truth behind that? I'm supposed to go to, praise God and worship God on Saturday instead of Sunday? Interesting. And that mind starts working. Because God has performed a miracle. Do not worship God in that way. It says in verse 31, "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which He hates they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." And what was Israel and Judah eventually guilty of? Going after foreign gods. They didn't trust the Lord God. They didn't. I said this many times, if you study Kings and Chronicles, once Solomon dies and the kingdom split in two, you will not find one good king in the nation of Israel. Not one. Not one. Judah goes up and down. Good king, bad king, maybe another bad king, then a couple good kings. Judah goes at least, that's why they lasted longer than Israel in the land that God gave them. There's consequences for actions. He lays out the clear way to worship Him and come before Him. And we have been given that knowledge. So each and every day when we wake up, we should find Him, come to Him, pray to Him, say, "Thank you, God." And it might be rough in the few years, but who knows that? God could put His hedge. Well, God does have His hedge around us. God does have His hedge around us. Does He test us? Yeah, He tests us. He's not partial. He tested the nation of Israel going through the wilderness. He's going to test us on our journey. But look at what He has for us. Revelation 21. Our eyes and our minds can't register the reward. But it's the promise. Revelation 21. Verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. Verse 7 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He shall be my child. Romans 8 backs that up. Last week I talked about line upon line, precept upon precept. We back up our scriptures. Romans 8 backs that up. Where we will inherit all things. Co-heirs with Christ. Heirs of the Father. Co-heirs with Christ. He is our Father. He wants to share it with us. But He's testing us to see if we can handle it. If we can overcome. If we do make a mistake in sin, do we give up? So I'm tired. I mean, we're tired. I'm tired, you're tired. Physically, we're tired. But we can't become spiritually tired. We can't do that. We've got to pray and pray and pray. God, our Father in heaven, help us. Help me. To get to this point, we want to be spiritual children of Almighty God. That is His promise to us. Revelation 22, Revelation 22, verse 12. And it says, "And behold, I am coming quickly." Oh, I pray that. I pray that. I hope you pray that. Come quickly. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off. It hurts. It only hurts for a moment. Come quickly. Sooner than later. And it's going to get worse. We just got to be honest about it. You know, you think about the people, Hurricane Laura hit Louisiana, and by God's hand, it didn't hit New Orleans. Either one of those hurricanes didn't hit New Orleans. I mean, it did hit, though, and a lot of people are suffering. A lot of people have, you know, houses are wrecked. And we pray for those people. We don't even know when we pray, because you can see them on the news. They're in tears, you know, old, just the devastation. We can't wrap our head around that. The people in New Orleans can. The people in Louisiana can. They've lived through it. They keep living through it. To ramp up like it did with the two hurricanes that came through the Gulf of Mexico. Never happened before in history. We've been seeing a lot of that lately, the past 5 to 10 years. A lot of things are happening that have never happened in the course of human history. What time is it in God's eyes? The season of the fig tree again. Anyway, back to Revelation 22, verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." Our scriptures are backing each other today. We read in Deuteronomy, "Obey me, listen to me, trust me, keep my commandments, keep my statutes, and you will have the right to the tree of life." Each one according to their work. So we have a work. We have a work to do. We each have a different work. We all can't do the same work. As Paul writes, we're not all the nose, we're not all the foot. We're not all the eyeball. We're different parts of the body of Christ doing a work. Romans 2, verse 13. Romans 2. We have a work. Verse 13, Romans 2, verse 13. "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." And we have that knowledge. We have that insight. We know what our work is to be. To be lights. I don't mean to hammer that point for those online. I mentioned that last week. We are to be lights. We are to be a reflection of God Almighty on this earth. That is what we're called to be. We have to understand that. That people see us. We are the face. Steve and I talked about it before services. You know, as speakers, we have a huge responsibility. We humbly come before you. We humbly take in the Word of God. And we pray that God will use us for His will and His guidance. People that are tuned in see my face, but it's God's words. If Steve speaks, they see Steve's face. But they see your face out in the community. How we treat each other and others outside in the world. They see that we keep the commandments. They see that we are different, which is a good thing. Titus chapter 3. Titus. There it is, Titus 3, verse 2. Just after 2 Timothy, because I almost got lost. 2 Timothy, then Titus. Titus, chapter 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We were there. We were there. When we see the world, we see the hate, and we see the anger, we see the chaos, we see the confusion. We were there at one time. Paul, who wrote this letter to Titus, was there as Saul. That's the miracle. It says in verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He tests us. Yeah, by His grace. We can't earn it on our own. We've got to have the Father give it to us. But He gives it to us because we listen, we trust. That heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So Paul writes, again, and you're going to find this in all his letters, Paul, constantly affirming this. Constantly understand this and know this. These wonderful promises that our Father has told us will happen. Wonderful things. 1 Corinthians 15. Corinthians 15, verse 33. He says, do not be deceived. And he's talking to members of the body of Christ. He's talking to the church in Corinth. Okay. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We got to stay focused. We can't give room to the enemy to find that weakness. And there's a reason why Paul talks about armor. That's why he talks about armor, making sure the armor that we have on, God's armor, is polished. It looks good. There's no cracks in it. When Christ tells us about building the house on the true foundation, a foundation that doesn't have any cracks in it or holes in it, our enemy will find any crack, any hole, and make it wider if we allow it to happen. And I said we. When we don't stay the course, when we don't stay focused, when we allow our good habits in the Lord to be eroded, there's a reason Paul uses the words, and the other disciples, and John, and like I said, all of them use these things as physical examples for us to take spiritually. Because God inspired them to write those things for us. If we feel we've got to catch it through prayer. You know, David cried out and prayed, "Wash me thoroughly of my sin." And he said, "If you see, cleanse my heart, you know me. If you see anything in me, help me cleanse it out." James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James is very blunt. James chapter 4, verse 4. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit which dwells in us yearns jealously'? But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Humble ourselves before God. Not before the world, but before God Almighty. And our Savior said in Matthew 5, Matthew 5, Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek." Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble, the gentle, the ones that are submissive to the Lord God, for they shall inherit the earth. So many promises there, blessings for those who seek God, those who are peacemakers. It takes strength and courage to be humble and meek. Some people think, that's easy, humble. No, it's not. It's not easy to turn the other cheek. It's easier to join in a fight. It's easier to get angry. It's easier to sin. It's easier to go the way of the world and say they had it coming to them. But we are called to be humble. We are called to be meek. Serving the Lord. It's hard to pray for our enemies, as our Savior tells us to do. It hurts when we're trampled on by the world. And it's easy in our minds to think, "I want revenge." And it's easy to go back into the world, as Israel tried to do time and time again. And they eventually did as a nation. And the nation of Judah, they went back into the world. And they were punished, and consequences were handed down from God Almighty. But we aren't told to do it alone. We're told that we have help. We have to choose to have help. We've read, we choose. When we choose to draw near to God, He draws near to us. We have the choice. It's always in our court to have the choice to come before God and draw near Him. John 14, verse 15. Christ says, John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He says in John 15, verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." He showed us when we abide with the Father through the commandments, he abides with us. Christ gave us the example of submissive to the will of the Father. He trusted His Father. He knew the plan. He went through His journey on this world. And He went through great pain the last hours of His life. Great suffering. The world trampled on our Savior. Because it had to. He had to be crucified. He had to be stripes laid upon Him. Because He is our Savior. For you and for me and for the whole world, He is the Savior. And He was submissive to the will of the Father. He did ask. He said, If it is Your will, Father, let this cup pass me by. But it wasn't the will of the Father. And He had to go through it. And He had to live those last hours of His life beaten, bloodied, nailed to a tree for you and for me and for the entire world. But what was His reward? He got to sit once again on the right hand of the Father, on the throne of heaven. Praise be to God that happened, because He's our mediator, our example, and our guide. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We've talked about that before. Belief is a verb. It means listen, trust, obey. Not just to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, but to know that He is the Son of God, and He's given us a mission to accomplish on this earth. The same example that He set. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Couple more scriptures as we come near a close. Hebrews 5, verse 7. This is talking about Christ. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. It was good enough for our Savior. It's good enough for us. He listened to the Father, doing His will. And then it says, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. To all that will obey Him, eternal salvation. And let's wrap up in Micah. Micah 6. Back to the Old Testament. Micah, right after Jonah. I guess we kind of come full circle with this scripture to end. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The will of God. What does He ask us to do? What does He require of us to do? To trust Him. To understand that as we keep the commandments, we obey Him, He will take care of us wherever we go, wherever we're at. It may not be the way that we want it. That's okay. It's the way that God wants it and His will. As we have seen, the will of God. God loves when we humble ourselves and listen to Him. He loves when we give it over to Him. Scripture says, you know, He says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." He will take care of it. So we must always be on guard. We've been given a great gift. We've been given great truth. We've been given wonderful promises. We must hold fast to God and to His truth. Not get involved with the trappings of this world. The feelings that the world causes us to have. And we do. We're human. You know, we see the news. We see what's going on in the world. And you know, we cry. We're sad. We're mad. We're angry. We pray that it'll go all the way. And it will eventually. But we are on a mission. I've said this before. And I'll keep saying this. God has called us to be on a mission. On a journey. For Him. In His way and His will. We can't get our foot... We can't stumble. Get our foot caught on a root. On the journey. On the pathway. We've got to stay focused. Focused on God. Focused on our Savior Jesus Christ. May our Father continue to bless us. And guide us as we are on this journey. And with His help, we will overcome.